Good morning and welcome to Inside the Huddle. Sam Word alongside Kyle Etherington here to bring you another recap of this week in local county sports. We've got Dave Falkenberg and Eli Falkenberg in studio today joining us from the Carroll soccer team. Carroll won their first two matches in sectional play, and they're playing in the sectional championship tonight against Tipton at 7 o'clock. That's at Taylor. Guys, thank you for joining us today.
Thank you.
So let's talk a little bit about the season. We were talking earlier when you guys came in. You said the first week of the season was a little rough. You guys actually played Tipton in the second game of the year and lost 3-1. But just talk about the season in general as a whole. Talk about that first week and the improvements you guys have made.
I would say that the season definitely started off rough. But once we started to be able to work together, it started to come together a little bit more. We've definitely had our ups and downs, but I think that right now we're on a good foot and on a good pace right now.
Absolutely. And you guys have done well so far in sectionals, beating Delphi 11-0 and Taylor 2-0. Talk about how your team has come together over these last couple of games.
I think that it's really just been our defense. A lot of it's been our defense, as we've had two shutouts in sectionals so far. And, I mean, our offense has kind of struggled to finish some chances that we've had against Taylor. But our defense has really been what's helped us come together, and just holding them to zero really helps in sectionals.
Now, Coach, would you agree with that? What have you seen from your team so far in sectionals? And talk about what you've seen from the sidelines as a coach this year.
Yeah, I mean, it's the long time standing idea of defense wins championships. And I went back and watched our Faith game from last year when we won the sectional championship 1-0 over Faith. And all five of our defenders, even though we lost a lot from last season, all five of our defenders were the same. Mm-hmm. And so we went back to that lineup the last 3 to 4 games of the regular season. I think since we made that switch, we've given up one goal. Moving Aiden Duff back to our sweeper and going back to a 3-2 setup in the back. And, our only change from last year on the defensive side is going from a senior goalie to a freshman goalie. But Ethan Johnson has really stepped up. I thought the Taylor game last game was he was very aggressive coming out. We're playing on turf, so it's a much faster game. And so it's really important that your goalie makes big, quick decisions, and overall he's made some great decisions.
I've got a question for both of you, and Eli, I'll start with you. You've got Coach, who you've known for a lot longer than most of the players on the team. Where does Dad end and Coach begin, and where does Coach end and Dad begins for you? And then Coach, I'll throw it over to you as well, because to me, I think that's a special relationship, but it can be a pretty wild and crazy relationship sometimes too.
I mean, I'd say that a lot of times Dad ends as soon as we step onto the soccer field. I'd say that on the soccer field, he tries to be as much of a coach as he can, and then once the game's over, get back to the school off the bus, and then Dad comes back on.
And I'm going to throw it over to Coach. Coach, when does Dad end and when does Coach begin, and vice versa?
Yeah, I'd say a lot the same. I think there's moments where the pride of Dad comes through when he's got a great goal or when he sets a record or something like that. But he's my second son to go through our program, and whether it's Coach or Dad or just the expectation of a great player, I think he would also say I'm the hardest on him, probably. And my expectation is the highest on him. But I don't know that that's a Dad thing. I think that's just the expectation of being a great player. You want to get the most out of them.
And he's certainly done very well, well over 100 goals. One of the all-time leaders, not just in Carroll history, but in state history. One thing I had to ask you, though, just to turn to football real quick, Eli, last night, and I'm not trying to bring this up or anything because I'm sure someone has probably talked to you about it already. You missed an extra point last night. Now, that's not what I wanted to ask you about. After every kick after that, it seemed as if the ball was skyrocketing off of your foot. How much was that you just taking your anger out on the ball? Because we were talking about it in the booth last night, and I wish you could have heard the gasp in the crowd when you missed that extra point. It was like one of those horror film gasps type. So how much anger did you take out on the ball? Was there any anger? Were you cool as can be? Kind of describe your feelings there.
Yeah, I mean, I haven't missed an extra point since, I think, week one. So missing that, especially as bad as I did, I just wasn't going to let that happen again. And on the kickoffs, I just knew that I had to make up for it somehow. So I had to kick it as far as I could.
Is that difficult to go from soccer to football, or has it been pretty easy in terms of just, you know, going from a different sport, things like that? Because to me, I get tired just thinking about, you know, putting on pads and everything like that. I mean, how have you handled that, both physically and mentally?
I mean, in some ways, going from soccer to football helps, because, like, just kicking a soccer ball helps with kicking a football. But it's a little different playing the position that I do, because in soccer, I have to try and keep it down so that it's on goal, and in football, I have to keep it as high as it can on kickoffs.
Okay.
So let's talk about this season for you, Eli. 43 goals in 18 games, and you took the record from your cousin at Carroll for the most goals scored at Carroll. You're top five now in the state all-time in goals scored with 112. Is that right?
Yeah.
So just talk about this season as a whole and what you've been able to accomplish this year.
I'd say a lot of it is just the people around me. The people around me have really helped just lead me to it. Everyone, I feel like, wants to see me succeed and is helping me get there, giving me all the passes that I need to, and doing everything that they can to help me out.
Absolutely. And you've also, Dave's got something to say as well, so we'll pass it over.
Well, and I did a little number crunching yesterday and looking back through 4 years of scorebooks, and what Eli's talking about is great players around him, great teammates through the years, and he's had 19 different players that have assisted on his goals, and he's also second all-time at our school for assists, and he's had 16 different players that he has been part of assisting on their goals. So, you know, to me, that just brings up the idea. And yeah, a lot of his assists and who he got it from were his brother and his cousin, or cousins now. But you know, it definitely takes a whole team when someone gets a record.
Absolutely. I was going to say you're tied for second on the team in assists this year. So you can do both. You can score, but you can also find your teammates. How difficult is that, choosing between, you know, I know how good I am, I could probably make this, but I got to make the right pass and find an open teammate who probably has a better shot than me?
Yeah, a lot of times it's just putting the team first. Like, I've probably had a few chances where I could try and take it, but I feel like the percentages are higher if I just, like, dump it off to someone else on a more open goal than I have. So I just weigh the chances and try and give the best.
Now, I know you've got a lot to choose from here because you've scored so many times, but is there any goal in particular that you remember the most? Obviously, the record-setting goal, I'm sure, is going to be something that you remember forever, but is there any goal along with that that you just kind of sticks out, whether it was like a great cross and you headed it in, or if you did the old bicycle kick, if you've been able to do that? I see Coach laughing and everything, so obviously he does it every single time, but what type of goals have it stick out to you over the course of your illustrious career, and we can use that phrase?
I'd say one of them was definitely my first ever goal. It was against Western in my first game ever.
Why were you scoring against my alma mater? Why'd you pick that? You're doing this on purpose, man. No, I'm joking. Go ahead, man. Sorry to interrupt. I couldn't resist.
Yeah, it was first game. It was just off of a corner. It was a header, and that was just special because it was my brother that assisted it too. Sorry.
You're fine.
No, you're fine, man.
And then another one would probably just be freshman year in first sectional game against Faith Christian. That was a really tough opponent, and I ended up having 3 goals that game, which was kind of unexpected, but I still remember all 3 of those, and that was just very fun moment.
Gotta love those hat tricks. And Coach, I'm not gonna ask you about your favorite goal, because I'm sure you would probably say every single one of them, but you've got this soccer family, this soccer legacy, and you've got talented soccer legacy too. How do you keep your son humble in terms of just not getting too high, not getting too low, just keeping it right?
Yeah. I don't typically have to. I think my wife and I, when they were younger, we helped instill in them that pride comes before the fall. And, and in general, one of the things that we've always said is let other people, you let your game do the talk and let other people promote you and talk about how good you are, and, you know, leave it at that. And, in general, I think he just does a great job of, you know, I guess I always say this, the best thing about goal scorers, they all have something in common, and if they miss, they don't remember it. They're ready for the next shot. They're ready for the next opportunity. And, you know, I think that's part of that is taking your pride out of the picture. And because when you're prideful, you're going to remember and you're going to dwell on that, and you're not going to be ready for the next moment. And so I feel like he does a fantastic job of letting it go and moving on. And, you know, at the end of the day, tonight's about us getting the W. Whether he gets three goals or no goals, he doesn't care as long as our team gets the W.
Absolutely. Let's talk about tonight's matchup. We talked about it earlier. You guys have played Tipton already this season. Second game of the year, lost 3-1. So long of a season. How do you kind of learn from that game a little bit, but also both teams are completely different at this point. So what do you take away from that game, and how do you kind of use it to your advantage tonight?
Yeah. The takeaway is if we aren't at the top of our game, anything can happen tonight. The takeaway is also, you know, we added a foreign exchange student a couple weeks into the season who definitely has added some skill to our field. My other takeaway is our goalie. You know, by the time you get through a season, you know, about halfway through the year, you're no longer a freshman.
Exactly.
You're a sophomore. Let's go. And then just setting our defense where we know we're most comfortable. You know, one of those is Grayson Miller is a junior, and he was our sweeper most of the year. But we switched Aiden Duff back to sweeper, moved Grayson to a stopper, which is kind of the spot in front of the sweeper. And since that, like, Grayson just thrives when he has that little bit of open field. Well, he ended up getting one of our goals the other day, taking the ball down the left side and putting it in the back of the net. And so, I mean, just, you know, a lot of the season is figuring out where's everybody play best, where are we most comfortable as a team, and then hopefully we're strongest at the end of the season, which is what we did last year, and I feel like we've trended in that direction now.
How difficult is that as a coach to make adjustments like that so deep into a season, because you don't know how it can affect your team, and then if you try to make changes back, some of the team chemistry might be altered. So how difficult is that as a coach?
It takes humility in the players first, you know, to be able to say, hey, we're moving, you know, who we believe is our best defender to the back, moving him out of center mid, moving Eli back to center mid, which, you know, gives us the best chance. And then just being confident and saying, this is how we won last year. It's how we're going to win again. And then just, you know, you got to buy in or it's not going to work. And, you know, if you have competitive athletes, you know, one of the things we talk about every day, we do a little devotional every day, but it's just about becoming a team player and what it looks like to put team before self.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that's part of that's trust in the coach, that the coaching staff is going to put people in the right positions to win.
Absolutely. So before we wrap things up, you finish the game tonight and you guys win. What were the couple of things that you guys did that made you guys win?
Biggest things are we didn't stab on defense and we played containment defense. We talked about that a lot yesterday. We worked on that yesterday. It's also one of the things we've talked about all year is you've got to be all in while the clock is running, physically, mentally, emotionally, and spiritually. You've got to be all in every aspect, because you can play hard, but if you're mentally not there, you're not going to win. And so to me, it comes down to containment defense and being completely focused on what we're doing while we're there. And if we do that, I believe we come out on top.
Awesome. Well, I appreciate you guys coming in here. That is Dave Falkenberg and Eli Falkenberg from Carroll Soccer. They'll be taking on Tipton tonight at 7 o'clock in the sectional championship game. That game will be played at Taylor at 7 o'clock. Thank you guys one more time for joining us.
Thank you.
Well, we'll be back with quarter number two of Inside the Huddle. We'll be talking to some representatives from the Clinton Central cross-country team. So stay tuned. You're listening to Inside the Huddle.
Whoever said size doesn't matter hasn't been to Winske Brothers. Hi, this is Jim Byers from Winske Brothers, inviting you to check out our new 70-foot truck scale. That's right, 70 feet. It's practically a landmark, making it easier than ever for you to get in, get out, and be on your way. Why? Because customer service isn't just words. It's 70 feet of promise. Check it out for yourself at 751 West Washington Street in Frankfort or visit WinskeBrothers.com. Winske Brothers, because size definitely matters.
Hey, Dr. Elsperman, I believe one of the best ways to invest in a community is to encourage participation in high school sports.
I agree, Paul. High school sports can play a tremendous role in student athletes obtaining their first degree in life, a high school diploma. Ivy Tech Community College also plays a role by serving more than 70,000 Indiana high school students who are earning college credit while finishing high school.
High school athletics are all about setting students up for success in the classroom and in life, and that's especially important. Considering less than 7% of student athletes play sports in college, and even fewer receive scholarships.
At Ivy Tech, thousands of high school students complete their freshman year of college or first industry credential, giving them a head start on college and careers.
We appreciate the support of partners like Ivy Tech who invest in our student athletes, their education, and our communities.
This is championing education. This is investing in your community. This is your IHSAA.
Your free local online newspaper, ClintonCountyDailyNews.com, is your number one resource for information as you need it, right at your fingertips. We have news, weather, sports, obituaries, the WILO program schedule, over 40,000 community photos, online surveys, community events, and HoosierLandTV.com archives. Plus, click on the info tab to find out how you can contact your local and state representatives. Find out what the buzz is all about. ClintonCountyDailyNews.com.
Quarter number two of Inside the Huddle. Sam Word alongside Kyle Etherington. We just heard from Carroll Boys Soccer, Dave Falkenberg, the head coach, and Eli Falkenberg, one of the all-time leading scorers in Indiana high school soccer history. We've now got a couple different people, one in the booth, one on the line. We've got Jenny Dunn and Josiah Johnson from Clinton Central Cross Country. We'll start with Coach Johnson. How are you doing today?
Hey, not too bad. How about yourself?
I'm doing well. I appreciate you calling in. And Jenny, I appreciate you coming into the studio.
Thanks. Good morning.
So let's talk about Clinton Central Cross Country. You guys have had a really successful year this year. Talk about kind of the year from start to now as a whole, the improvements you guys have seen from all the different runners and what you guys have seen from the coaching aspect.
Yeah, I guess I can go ahead and start. We had a pretty good summer workout this season. Pretty much all the kids bought in over the summer, and having that extra time with them coming in and putting in the time and the miles really makes a big difference and has kind of set us up, I think, for the season that we've had. It's just the buy-in all around for the most part to putting on miles and putting in the work as a team, even though it's an individual sport. And then coming into the season, not knowing what to expect, we've had pretty much full commitment from like the junior high kids. We didn't know what we'd get there, but we ended up with a few kids, a few really good kind of stars. That have, like one that ended up breaking our school record for junior high in the 3K, and just overall focusing on just staying healthy, keeping a positive mentality. Never pushing through injury, and just trusting the coaches that they're going to do kind of what is needed to get them to the right place. Because we have a few kids that are looking at potentially running in college and just love running in general. So just success with health, I guess, overall has been kind of a good thing.
I think one of the things that we've done with the kids is at the beginning of the season, we really set the expectation for where we wanted them to be. So both as runners and what we wanted our team to be able to do, what we thought that their their possibility was. We told them that we thought they could win county. We told them that we thought they had a really great chance to win conference. And I think when we start out with that mentality and that expectation or goal, then they rise to the occasion. And we have had, they've come every day. They've worked really hard. We ended up with four junior high kids, and we're really looking forward to, their season is over now, but Matthew Dunn broke our school record for the 3K, and Owen Wellman is our other eighth grader, and he broke through 12 minutes this season, which was his goal. And we have them joining our varsity team next year, so that's really great. But for our varsity, we just, both the girls and the boys, we set the expectation of not just runners, but also their whole, they are student athletes. So we talk to them a lot about being good students, and we're watching their grades. And as a group, they have a GPA of 3.6. Wow. So, they work really hard in all aspects, not just when they come out to cross-country practice. And they do buy in.
That's awesome. That's impressive. Let's talk about the conference meet last Saturday, where the boys won for the first time since, I believe, 1990. Is that correct?
That's correct, yeah. So very exciting.
Just talk about that. We'll start with you, Coach Johnson. Talk about last weekend and what that meant for your program.
Yeah, that was a pretty emotional win for a lot of the kids. I've only been in the community for about 3 years now. I come out of Benton County, so I'm just kind of got in touch with them just through a grapevine kind of thing, and it's kind of like there's been a core since then that has really flourished and really loved running, and they kind of build up everybody around them for the most part and kind of bring everybody to their level and we've built this cross country team. They've also helped really build it with their love for the sport and everything. So coming into a conference, it was something on their minds that's probably been on their minds since like day one of high school year or even before that. So we saw this as potentially, and for a while, maybe one of our only opportunities, coming in with a group like that. And they understood the mission. They knew weeks in advance, like, this is what we're training for, or one of our stepping stones, at least, that we're training for this season. And they had the mindset that we're not just going to come in and win this thing. We came in to just absolutely sweep, which is what they ended up doing, actually. It was a really impressive performance. But yeah, all the hype around it and the excitement and the anticipation of it, and to come out and do that was really impressive on them. And I was really impressed, very impressed.
And Jenny, you were obviously happy with the team, but you also kind of had to be happy with your son Spencer, who finished third with a time of 17:04. What was that like for you?
Well, it's been really great to be part of the cross country team this year with all the kids. Certainly with Spencer. I'm generally proud of how he runs. it is fun to. It's a little different for me this year. In previous years, when I've been a parent, then I watch Spencer, and then I kind of go on to the next place that I see Spencer. So I've been a lot more involved with all the kids this year, and watching them and seeing them grow and improve. And
yeah, absolutely. You got four runners in that boys' meet finish in the top 10. Spencer Dunn with a time of 17:04. Carter Klein at 17:38. Isaiah Sanders at 17:52, and then Caleb Jacobs at 18:54. So just a really impressive run for you guys. What about some of the other meets this season? Talk about some of the other meets that you guys have had success in, and how you've seen the team grow in that way.
One of the things that we've tried to do this season, we've kind of shaped the season as it's gone along, is we've really tried to get the kids into big meets. So we've run at the Logan Sport Invitational kind of at the beginning of the season, and that's where our sectional is, so that they had an opportunity to run a race there. We felt like that was really important for them. We've been up to the Culver Invitational, the New Prairie Invitational, and they have 200 kids in the race, 200 runners in one race, and then there's a series of, six or seven races throughout the day. So we've really tried to get them into big race mentality. In fact, we've done that so much that we have two young junior high runners. One is a fifth grader and one's a sixth grader. We went to a dual meet this week on Thursday. It's the only dual meet we've had this season. And one of them said, "Where are all the other people? Where did all the people go?" And so we've really tried to get them into situations where they can thrive, and they're used to having lots of people around them and running. And both the girls and the boys have really risen to the occasion in all those aspects. So,
you've kind of hinted, okay, both of you, at kind of the love of running. Describe this, because, and I'm just speaking for myself here, but I know there might be a couple other people out there. What is this love of running that I'm missing? Because when I was when I was trying to be an athlete, I should say, I never experienced the joy. So what are people like myself missing out when it comes to running? What is this love of running? Kind of describe it a little bit.
Yeah. You got one big thing.
I ran in high school and college, so okay. I'm
with
you.
That one out.
No,
out
no,
there.
You're good. Go ahead, Josiah.
I've
sorry.
To know. I've just always wanted to know that.
It's the endorphins.
The endorphins? Hey, there, yeah. All right, gotcha.
I think you have to realize there's a love-hate.
Yeah, exactly.
That's it's for never sure. Not painful. Like Spencer and Carter and them running at the front, like it may seem like easy to them, and they're running so fast, and like, and they're still in a lot of pain. Like, it's still a lot for them to push that pace. But you just, you live for the results. You push yourself hard and you end up
at there
some
in the
point,
front.
Hopefully doing really well. Like,
they also, it's a challenge, I think. There's a lot of challenges, just like in any other sport, but, it's a personal satisfaction. And then when you have a team around you, it makes it just that much better. So
that makes a lot of sense, because my sister-in-law, she competes in half marathons and marathons, and, you know, we've been at the finish line and she looks like she's just on the verge of collapsing. Yeah. And I'm sitting there with my hot dog and my iced tea, and I'm like,
"Why you want to do this again?"
Yeah, right. Exactly. Yeah. So, okay. I'm.
Yeah. Well,
I'm
when glad. You look at them, I mean, you watch Spencer run, and I'll just speak to Spencer. Mm-hmm. He looks, you know, fairly effortless. And then the next meet you see him, he might look like, "Wow, what in the heck happened?"
Yeah.
You know, he looks like he has a flat tire somewhere. You know. But yeah, it's as Josiah said, it's always painful. It's never as effortless and easy as it looks.
Well, if running it means having a flat tire, my tires were bald for most of my life. So, cross country is such an interesting sport to me, because it's not like basketball where you can call timeout and drop a play. It's not like tennis where you get a break in between a couple of games. Describe kind of the strategy that goes into talking with the kids, because you talked about that big meet mentality. Where are the other runners? Like, is there a strategy? Is it pace yourself? Kind of describe that, because I think that, to me, I find that most interesting as far as the coaching aspect of it.
Yeah. I'll start and then Josiah can finish this one. I think that each of the runners has kind of probably their own personal strategy. Some of them are, I've got to get off to a good start, because if I don't, I mentally can't come back from that. Some of them like to kind of take it easy because they're finishers. So really, I think throughout the season, one of the reasons of putting them in those big meets is so that they can find their own race. Josiah does a great job with the workouts and getting them to a place where it doesn't matter what their race is like. As he said, you know, we ran lots of miles this summer, and that base is really what allows them to run their race. But they can find their own, kind of their own place, their own way that they need to. Now, when it was conference or county, you know, they know, I don't know if people out there know how cross country is scored even, but a full team is seven people. The top five score, and you score by your places. So if you get first place, you get 1 point. If you get 15th place, you get 15 points. And then you add up the places basically for the first five people, and that's your score. So it's kind of like golf, low score wins. And then number six and seven are really, really important, and people sometimes dismiss them, but they are tiebreakers, first of all. But they also push other teams back. So if our guy gets 25 and the person that we're running against, we're really trying to beat, their person gets 28, we got 3 points right there because we pushed them back. So all seven are really, really important to us. So when this meets like county and conference that are, you know, close, near and dear to our hearts, then we do talk to them about, you know, really you need to be in front of this person for whatever team we think we need to really compete against. So sorry, Josiah, if there's anything you want to add there.
No, I love that. I love that description, especially of number seven, because I know our number seven, Quinn, loves to know his objective every
Absolutely.
Meet. So yeah.
Who does he need to be in front of? Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Yep. I mean, there's a lot of strategy in how we train, and how we prep for each meet and how we kind of like write the narrative for the kids. Especially like coming into a meet where, we know we can place pretty good. Sometimes, it's about placing, and we tell them we'll count the numbers for you and tell you exactly where you kind of need to be to get us in a place to score pretty good as a team. And then ones like conference where, it's a little more passionate and a little more fire to it. We just tell them to go out there and give it their best. And like, we just want to do absolutely everything we can, whether that's with our timing, how fast we run, running PRs, which, pretty much everybody does almost every meet, which is kind of fun. A lot of energy, but yeah, ones like conference, we just tell them to come out with run with passion and run to win.
Well, absolutely, and you guys will be taking on Logansport, or going to Logansport for the sectional next weekend, with the girls starting at 10:30, boys at 11:15. Just your quick thoughts on that race next weekend. The top five teams advance, and then the top 15 individual runners advance. So just give me your quick thoughts, Coach Johnson, on that race.
Yeah, of course. So I fully hope that we'll all see all of our runners going to regionals. This last outing we had with the girls, they showed us that they could potentially make it as two individual girls to the next regional. The boys, we're hoping to make it out as a team. We don't want just top five. The boys are looking at hopefully taking a number one spot, which is totally possible if we get the times that we've been working towards the whole season. Totally possible and hopeful that we'll make it out not only as a team, but maybe even get that sectional championship.
Well, absolutely. We'll be rooting for you here, and you can check out the results. For anybody listening, you can check out the results on ClintonCountyDailyNews.com. We'll make sure we get those up. Big thanks to you, Jenny, for sending us those results and making sure we can share some of the great things that these athletes are doing. So we appreciate that.
Thank you very much.
Thank you guys for joining us. And
thanks for having us.
Of course. We'll be back with quarter number three of Inside the Huddle with Carroll Head football coach Blake Betzner coming up right after this. You're listening to Inside the Huddle, brought to you by Winsky Brothers.